Well, good morning, friends, and welcome back to Friday's episode of Good Morning
Live. Friday.
And Jen is rounding out the week with me. Thanks for being here today.
Oh, you're welcome.
It has been a really powerful week of teaching as we have looked at end times, but in a very different light. And I love this teaching. I've loved this whole week because, again, we, and not that there's anything wrong with this, we shied away from talking about specific wars that are happening or the blood moon in the sky, but really looking internally and saying, how can I prepare for end times?
Yes.
And I think that's such a powerful thing because, as we've been saying this week, there are some things we can control and some things we can't control.
Yes.
I can't control blood moons and I can't control wars and rumors of wars and famines and all of those other things. But what I can control is this, my heart, my mind, you know, my domain, if you will. So we were looking at and have been and will continue today how we prepare for the end times by looking inward. So I'm on a mission next week, but this has been really good.
Been
so
fun.
Thanks for, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And I know it won't be your last time being on here, but you have any big plans for the weekend?
No, not really. Other than church on Sunday.
Church on Sunday and mowing the grass on Saturday and sounds like a fun time.
Yes.
So, all right. So I want to talk to us today, keeping in line with that theme of looking inward and preparing inwardly for the end times. What I think is one of the biggest strategies of the adversary when it comes taking out, if you will, the people of God, and that is isolation. And we may not always think of, when we think of spiritual warfare, of isolation being a part of that.
Right.
But what I've discovered, especially over the last 2 years, I don't know, it's just the Lord's been speaking to me about, I don't know, in my mind, when I think of spiritual warfare, I think of, you know, prophetic songs, I think of quoting scripture and all of those things, of course, but smiling can be spiritual warfare. Like if you are under, you know, attack spiritually, and sometimes, you know, you want to be down in the dumps you want to be, I'm choosing to smile today.
Yes,
I'm choosing to laugh. That can be such of an act of spiritual warfare, pushing against the adversary. You're not causing me to be down or depressed. I'm going to smile. You know, if you, even tangibly, if you have, you know, alt against a brother, we had a situation where we were trying to navigate relationally two different people and who weren't seeing eye to eye. And you know, the one was like, I'm not even looking at the other, right? And I said, no, you look at him and you smile and you're friendly. It's an act of spiritual warfare. But I'm not going to allow your attitude to isolate. So I've been looking at over the last year, like, what are some other tangible things, spiritual warfare, that sometimes we forget? Because sometimes it's the act, small actions in our lives that produce breakthrough. And so in thinking of end times and the strategies of the adversary, coming together and breaking the desire to self-isolate can be a strong piece of spiritual warfare in your life that maybe you're missing. Hey, good morning, Cheryl. Good to see you. And so we need each other. And that's why Jesus even warns, as we read it yesterday or earlier in the week, that, you know, as that day approaches, what we are not supposed to do, forsake the assembly of coming together. So we have to be diligent. It is 8 o'clock and I haven't had all my coffee.
Vigilant.
There we go. Focusing, not just focusing on the external big world event stage, because I believe that the enemy would want to isolate the church long before the big things happen. Why? Because once that happens, you know, and people are isolated, you know, it talks about false prophets coming and all of that. When you're isolated, man, you're going to be more apt to fall into that prey.
And I think too, it's, you know, just where we find ourselves. And you may speak to this too, is, you know, again, the strategy of the enemy, and we touched on it, I believe it was yesterday, the day before, of just, you know, that whole 2 years or so of just the pandemic and, you know, isolating and keeping people home and keeping people out of the four walls of the church and, you know, breeding that worry and fear and anxiety. And, you know, I have to say that there are some people. And there's some realms where, you know, it's that became almost a norm. And they've just become more comfortable in that situation of isolating themselves. And that is not, like you said, that is not, you know, the heart of as believers, you know, that we should do that and keep ourselves, you know, in our own four walls and not, you know, rub elbows and be a part of that. Yeah. So, yeah.
And I do think even, you know, I talked to many pastors who will still say that churches have not fully recovered to where we were prior to COVID.
Yes.
And that you can look at that, you know, on average prior to COVID, and some of this is outside of COVID, but generational stuff. But the average church attender would attend 2 to 3 times a month.
Oh, wow.
Where now the average church attender comes 1 to 2 times a month. Okay. So we've cut that in half where if I'm a professing Christian and I love my church and I love the Bible and I love God, church and church attendance and being with the brethren has become less frequent in the life of a believer. But that is contrast of what Jesus taught.
Yes.
He says, as that day approaches, as the end comes,
yes,
come together more often.
Right.
You're going to need each other more often. Mm-hmm. And the reality is we are all turning to someone or something for connection. So if it's not the church and it's not the people of God and it's not being in the house of God, what is it? So I want to show you really quick because how I kind of thought to get into this teaching today is I saw this video on social media. And when I saw it, it absolutely floored me. And it led me to say, hey, we got to talk about this on a Good Morning Live. Good morning, Sue. It's good to see you. So I want to show you this video real quick because I think it will prove a little bit of what we're saying today. And this video shows how the majority of people spent their time from the 1940s to 2024. And you're going to see the bars continue to move as people's habits have changed. And I want you to see where we end up in this whole thing. So let me show you this real quick. So I wanted you to see that because if you can see that graphic, that's powerful.
Yeah, it is.
Is that for generations, family and friends were where we spent a majority of our time.
Yes.
Suddenly the entrance of the internet, you know, in the 90s come into play. But over the last several years,
skyrocket, come number one.
Online has far, far exceeded.
Yeah.
Family. Friends and family has fallen almost to the bottom. Church has fallen almost to the bottom.
Yes.
So you can't look at a statistic like that and not think what's happening and to think of that, is there something intentional in that as we're approaching the end days?
Yes.
Is that a strategy of the adversary?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's obvious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Online is just, again, it's just you and whatever you're scrolling through in your own little world like that.
Yes.
Isolation.
And isn't it a wonder, and I'm not a medical doctor, so I'm not saying all that, but isn't a wonder that society at large struggles more with fear and anxiety now than we ever have in human history. But yet we look at a chart like this, which says, well, we are disconnecting from people. We're not with our friends. We're not with our family. We're not in church. We're at home. We're isolated. We are online more than we've ever been online.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I think it does something up here
that
we can be in the room with our family, but in here.
Disconnected. You can be present. You could be sitting at the same table and just totally disconnected and doing, you know, your own thing.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, you can't go to a restaurant nowadays. I see it all the time. you know, and it's just like, you look around and you take notice, and it's just families, just everybody's doing their own thing on their phone and eating and paying the bill, and they're gone. Yep. You know, there's no interaction or very little.
Yeah. And Cheryl just said, and the results are absolutely visible.
Yes.
They are.
Yes.
And even so much that I laugh because I get it, because I'm kind of in that generational timeline. I mean, I remember when we got our first computer. So though I'm older, I can kind of relate to some of that, but mm-hmm. even when somebody calls on the phone now,
yeah.
there's that little bit of panic that happens where it's like, what do they want? Why are they calling me? Why wouldn't you text me?
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Did you ever relate to that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where, again, it's like, so even now, less face-to-face, mm-hmm. it's even, well, why are you calling me? Just text me.
I don't even want to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Just leave me to myself.
And but there comes almost a social anxiety with it now where it's like, what do you want? What's happening? Mm-hmm. I don't know how to respond to this. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I just think as we're looking at the end times, we have to recognize that this would be a strategy. Let me read Hebrews 10:24 to you, and it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking, this is what we've been saying, mm-hmm. the assembling of ourselves together, and so much more
yes.
as you see the day approaching,
yes.
not less.
Right.
Not more. Go in your own camp mm-hmm. more. And there are some things. And listen, I'm not one of those preachers. I believe in the power of technology. Right. We utilize technology. We're online together mm-hmm. right now. I'm not preaching against it. What I'm saying is we have to be careful that us ourselves, our children, our families are not missing what God says is going to be essential as the end comes. And that's community.
Yes.
That's being together, yes. doing life together. Mm-hmm.
Make it ship. Yes.
Priority.
Yes.
I mean, you know, in the American church, if the AC doesn't work right in the car and it's a warm day, well, we're not mm-hmm. going.
Right, right.
I remember back in the day, and I don't know how mom did it, but she had 5 kids.
Uh-huh.
And how often were we bringing neighbor kids to church
oh, yeah.
with us?
Piled in. And that was the days before, you know, seatbelts were required. So there would be, I'm serious, 7 of us in the little back seat of a Chevette, you know, and
little
we were going
Chevy
to
Chevette.
Church,
know.
You know, and no AC. Yeah, everybody, you know, he's touching me, she's touching me, he's looking at me, you know, but it was like, mom, yep, that was, she was on mission, on point. I'm gathering them together. We're heading to church. And
yep.
I mean, that was the norm. That
yep.
was Sunday and Wednesday. We were there every time the doors were open.
Yep. And, you know, again, everybody's sweating on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There was such a mission that
yes.
this was so important. And
yes.
I ran into one of the kids from that family
okay.
Not long ago in a grocery store, and his life had taken some turns, and he had just gotten out of prison, but he had gotten radically saved
wow.
while he was in prison. But one of the things he said to me is he said, if had it not been for the foundation of
wow.
us going to church together,
mm-hmm.
that he doesn't know. Because when he went to prison, he knew where to turn.
Uh-huh.
And that's what caused that life change. And I just thought, you know, how powerful that, yeah. you know, this woman with her 5 kids
yeah.
and a few more in the back of the Chevy Chevette driving
uh-huh.
them to church.
Yep.
impacted
yep.
people's lives and it changed. So, but nowadays it's mm-hmm. like, you know, oh, I don't know. My left arm hurts a little
right.
bit. I'm not coming.
Right.
Yeah, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not against vacations and I'm not against all those things. I'm just saying is we have to intentionally,
yes.
this is where we are as a society.
Yes.
You can't just say, well, we just do what everyone else does.
Mm-hmm.
As the world moves closer to the end times, we have to be more and more intentional about what we're doing.
Yes.
And one of those things is we have to be intentional
yes.
about the house of God,
mm-hmm.
about being around God's people
yes.
and fellowship.
Yes.
It's
good.
Essential today. So we talked a little bit this week about what are those signs of the end times and what does
mm-hmm.
some of that look like. And of course, Jesus speaks in Matthew 24 mm-hmm. about wars and famines and pestilence and earthquakes, the beginning of sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we can see a lot of that happening in our
yeah.
world today.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 Timothy, he describes perilous times
mm-hmm.
and people will become lovers of themselves, unloving,
wow.
unforgiving,
mm-hmm.
despisers of God.
Lovers of themselves. It's whatever feels comfortable, whatever feels right to me.
Yep.
I mean, it's wow. Yeah.
And so that's
the shift.
Where
the shift.
I can't read what Jesus warns
mm-hmm.
and not see, again, we focus so much on the skies and the earthquakes
mm-hmm.
and the famine, but he talks so much
yes.
about the condition of the human heart
yes.
and the human soul
right.
that it's time that, listen,
mm-hmm.
as the end approaches, we got to get this.
Yes.
We got to be on point with this. Lovers of themselves,
mm-hmm.
not caring for our neighbors,
mm-hmm.
not loving our
mm-hmm.
neighbors. Do we even know who our neighbors are?
Right.
Do we know who the community is around us. It's
true.
Incredible. So a few statistics that I pulled for us today. 20% of U.S. adults experience daily loneliness.
Wow.
Daily.
Wow.
20%. That brings us to about 52 million individuals every day feel loneliness every day. 30% of Americans aged 18 to 34 report feeling lonely at least several times a week. 33% of older adults aged 50 to 80 report feeling lonely at some of the time or very often.
You know that being that loneliness is linked to increased risks. I mean, it affects your health.
Yep.
Increased risks of heart disease, dementia, premature death. So, I mean, again, Satan, he knows this, yeah, right? So he knows if I can get you isolated and I can get you almost stuck it with your own thoughts and just your own voice and your own head, and you know what that could open the door to, you know, is I mean, those health implications alone are just
And that's also even if you just consider, you know, the scripture that says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge."
Yes.
When you look at some of these things that talk, like Jen just said, it's linked to heart disease, dementia, premature death, all of those things. Simple isolation, the enemy can take you out early by just getting you isolated.
Right. I have sisters that work in geriatric healthcare, and you know, you hear it a lot and you see it a lot, you know, when you encounter those elderly that are, you know, 99, 100, 105 years old, and you know, everybody wants to know what's the secret to your longevity, you know, why that you've made it so long. And most of the time, from what I'm hearing, is that they're very social people. They're not isolated. Mm-hmm. They love being around people. They love, you know, communicating and just being out and doing things. And so I think that even in and of itself speaks to this, you know, being social, you know, being around people, you know, not isolating ourselves, not, you know, and I'm speaking to myself because I am an introvert. You know, I'm a homebody.
Me too.
So when I hear those things, it's like, okay. You know, so it's, you know, it's being intentional. It's, you know, like you said, it's this wisdom. It's this knowledge of saying, you know, and what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with this information?
Yeah. And so my friend Tracy, who goes here to Hope City, she had told me, and if she's on, if you're watching, Tracy, you can comment what this is, because I forget, but there was a thing she saw on Netflix, I think it was, and it was either called the Green Zone or the Blue Zone. I don't remember, but it was a color zone thing. And if you know what it is, comment in the chat. But it talks about where scientists look at where people are living the longest in the world.
Okay.
And they categorized it as these green zones or blue zones or whatever it was. And one of the biggest things was, of course, their diet, and most of those zones ate like the Mediterranean diet. But the other thing, the longevity was completely tied. The Blue Zone. Thanks, Lindsay. Yep. So if you want to watch the Blue Zone, find it on Netflix, wherever it is. And I think it speaks into all of this. Was tied to that essence of community that they have. They did life together. They lived together. They were with other people. And I just feel so strong that as we're looking at the end approaching, we have to make sure our children... Mm-hmm. You know, if you got young kids, if you've got teenagers, it used to be, and I don't know, like, and I'm not, you know, this is how it was when we were growing up. But don't you remember in the morning, mom sending us outside and locking the door?
Yes.
And we drank out of the hose.
Uh-huh. Come on.
And unless somebody was like bleeding or dying.
Yeah. You're not coming in. I mean, and I think we even ate like, you know, onion grass for lunch or, you know, whatever it was. But it was just that point of get outside, do something, not sit in front of the television. And we didn't even have internet or computers back then, or cell phones or anything, but it was get out, be active, be social, go play with the neighborhood kids, use your imagination. And, you know, and it was just, you know, nowadays, if you lock your kids outside and tell them, you know, you're staying out for four hours.
We're not saying do that.
Well, it might be bailing somebody out, but it's the point is how healthy that was.
Yep.
And it formulated relationships. I mean, come on. We would go out in the morning and it would be, oh, it's dusk. We got to go home. You know, I don't even remember some days even eating because we're just so engaged in just, you know, being out and being social and doing that. And I mean, I, you know, I'm a grandparent and I'm obviously a parent, but it's, you know, I look around and, You know, it's just, I see even 2 and 3 year olds with just, you know, they're working their parents' cell phone better than I'm working it, you know, and it's just this, you know, what is that doing? You know, what is that doing? And I think there should be some of that is go out, go play, be physical, make friends, go use your imagination and go build forts and go get dirty. And
And I think one of the key things there, and you just said, is imagination.
Yes.
For me, I know faith is a mental picture.
Yes.
And when I'm standing in faith, a big piece of that is picturing in my mind the reality of what God has spoken or what his word says before I see the reality of it. The Bible says that he redeems our imagination. He redeems our mind. That your imagination is a gift from God in order for you to be able to be like him in your creativity. We are able to create. Why? Because before God ever said it, saw it.
Right.
When we have a generation of kids who can't imagine, we can't build, we can't, well, because they don't see it. It's not on the phone. I mean, the closest thing we get to is, I don't want to say Roblox or whatever the thing where you build. I don't know. Somebody else can
phone me. Oh, Minecraft.
Minecraft. Yeah, there we go. But I think that's why we're sometimes, we can see a generation of having a hard time standing in faith or believing the word of God, because we haven't trained them to use your imagination, picture the reality before you build it.
Yes.
I remember being, you know, we were pretty poor growing up, but what we could afford is we would go to the craft store. My mom would buy me popsicle sticks and I would build all kind of houses out of these popsicle sticks. And, you know, I remember I knew I was called a pastor and you know, so much so that I had this little plastic church and in the yard, I would put the church and I would create the parking lot and the road and I would drive the worship leader would always get there first, but then somebody would crash. And then I had this weird fire fetish. And then I would start one of the cars. That was a whole separate problem.
But even to that, I mean, I think fondly of memories of my sister and I, and we used to play church all the time. I mean, we would take our little milk crates and set them up with overhead, you know, fake overhead projectors and put paper on, and we'd have worship and we'd sing, and, you know, somebody would be playing the tambourine, and we'd make you and everybody else sit there, and our stuffed animals, they were our congregation, and we'd preach to them. And it was just like feeding that, you know, and we've lost that. And that's so sad. And again, I think that's part of what the enemy, it's just, you know, even the imagination, like you said, with faith, you know, seeing it and believing it, and also, you know, we're such instant gratifications. Now. If I need to know something, I can within 30 seconds, I can have an answer for you. You know, there's not this, you know, thinking and researching, and you know, it's just so this instant gratification. And do faith. There's seasons, there's time even in between when God speaks and when God moves, and there's just this, well, if it didn't happen, then it's not going to happen. Yeah. And, you know, all that is developed in that is just growing up and being social and using your imagination. And, you know, they've lost that.
100%. And Cheryl says, oh my gosh, she said all of the us neighborhood kids would ride our bikes, build forts, play ball, so much fun. We loved each other. When she said that, we loved each other. I thought, you know, isn't that even where life and social skills were developed?
Yes.
Because you'd fight with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We want our kids to fight, but there was a healthy piece of that. And I heard somebody talking the other day where they were preaching that we teach our children the spirit of divorce when, you know, they come home and they have a problem with the kid on the playground. And what's our first response? Just don't play with them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk to them anymore. I do it to my kids.
Yeah. Cancel them.
Yeah. And what we're teaching them is to cancel them. Mm-hmm. You have relational issues. Mm-hmm. Don't resolve them. Don't work them out. Don't talk to them. Don't play with them. Cancel them. And so they go through life. Mm-hmm. And anytime there's a social problem in a relationship, in a marriage, in a church, and anything else, what's embedded is not how do we work this out? Not how do we forgive? Not how do we, you know, and I understand sometimes that's a challenge to do, but we don't put them up for the challenge. We just say, walk away, cancel them, move on.
Mm-hmm. Forget
and
that, about it.
And that's how we move through life. Yeah. And no wonder we have a generation of people who are experiencing church hurt. And again, I put that in quotations because I do believe church hurt can be absolutely real. But what we have taught a generation is instead of saying, well, then find a healthy church, be planted, be involved, or work out that hurt with those who have hurt you. The Bible gives us clear instructions. Go to the person. Right. Work it out. Have the conversations. Mm-hmm. Instead of that, what do? Leave them alone. walk away, cancel them, don't ever look back, become isolated. And I believe it's a strategy of the enemy.
Oh, yeah.
So again, I'm not preaching. I know Jen's not preaching today, you know, against technology, against, if you come into a restaurant, at least two of my kids are going to have phones because we completely reserve them for restaurants so that it's a special treat so that we can eat inside. That's not what I'm saying. What we're saying is in this season, we have to be intentional.
Right.
I'm looking at, you know, our, we have neighbors that live beside us that our kids absolutely love. They play with every day, and that those neighbors are getting ready to move. And I'm looking around, I'm like, I don't know who my kids are going to play with, you know, with those kids not being there. And I'm like, man, I have to be intentional. Mm-hmm. He's got to be in Boy Scouts. He's got to, you know, whatever we have to do, but we have to make sure that they're developing these life skills, that they're, you know, if there's problems on the playground, that we're not saying walk away, that we're challenging them, find a resolution, work it out, you know. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one.
That's good.
For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. Two is better than one. Mm-hmm. So here's a few end time strategies that the enemy will use to bring isolation.
Yes.
One of those is offense. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that a little bit. Unresolved conflict lead to separation from the body of Christ.
Right.
We got to stand against offense.
Busyness.
Mm-hmm. Overcommitment. Yeah. Crowd out our time for fellowship.
Right.
I said this on the live a few weeks ago, but I, you know, pastoring 21 years, I've seen it time and time and time again. People get blessed. They get the vacation home, they get the boat, and then suddenly church attendance
starts to wane.
And here I have no problem with a vacation home. Lord, if you want to give me one, I'll take it. If you want to give me a boat, I'm not a boater, but I'll sell it and then buy something. I do want. But those things within himself, that's why we have technology. You can stream this service. You know, you can still stay connected in those ways. But most of the time, when people start to shift on their church attendance, I have very rarely seen it bounce back. You replace those habits. Suddenly it's in the middle of winter and you're not at your vacation home and you're not on your boat. I don't know where you are.
Right.
It's that intentionality of saying no.
Right.
House of God is important.
Right.
People of God are important. Community is important. So we have to be careful. Commitment, busyness can crowd out our time of fellowship.
Yep.
And then of course, shame.
Yes.
Yep. Shame is a huge piece
feelings
of that.
Feelings of unworthiness can cause withdrawal, that I'm not good enough, you know, comparison, you know, all of that, you know, is, you know, it's because I'm not like them or they're not like me or whatever that is, like you said, we're separate ourselves and you stay there and I'll stay here. And
And, you know, again, if this is where we're spending a majority of our time, we understand the comparison that happens in here is crazy.
Just, disgusting.
I was there's a ministry that I love and look up to and just love so much. And I'm not, you know, I'm trying to stay away from gossip and those type of things. But a report had come out recently from an investigation and revealing some of the behind the scenes things. And the reality of how I saw that ministry. And at times there were times where I felt like, well, we're never going to be like them. Right. Should we even just quit? Is this ever going to, you know?
Right.
And the reality of the chaos and dysfunction that was happening behind the scenes was like, oh. And then I'm not trying to say, I'm trying to be in a spirit of gossip, but it was like, here I was feeling less than comparing myself to. And the reality was, that wasn't what was being posted.
Right.
We know that.
Well, we've heard it said before, is what you see on social media is highlight reels.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's going to, you know, is going to post pictures or, you know, well, this happened, you know, it's just, it's, you know, it's the best of, you know, it, and it's this, you know, and so when we're sitting and, you know, I'm looking the craziest in the morning that I look all day long, you know, dark circles and puffy and swollen and, you know, a hair everywhere. And I'm going through and I'm looking at everybody else's highlight reel. It is so easy to fall into that. Oh, wow. Look at them. Look at that. Look at their family. Look at, oh, wow. Look, they just bought that. And then feeling that, and then it does, it brings that sense of shame or unworthiness and I'm not good enough. And well, I don't want to bump into them or I don't, you know, and there is this separation that happens and it starts here and it, you know, and it can get into your heart and out of the heart, you know, the issues of life. So it's like, that's where we have to watch. And like you said, technology is, I mean, it's wonderful. God uses it, But it's in that, it's that moderation, and it's, and it's realizing, and it's, and it's using wisdom, you know, and saying, you know, that's, they're all highlight reels. I put highlight reels. Everybody puts a highlight reel, and this sense of comparison and shame that, you know, you stifle that. You just, that that doesn't creep in.
Yeah. Well, now consider this, the Bible, that scripture that says we overcome by word of our testimony,
yes,
which means we share what God has done. Mm-hmm. But to have to share word of your testimony involves being real and authentic with other people.
Yes.
You're not sharing your word of your testimony. What do? We don't do that. What do? We mask up.
Yes.
So every person that you're seeing online, filtered and, you know, looks like they're, you know, have it all together, is struggling with some type of something.
Yeah.
The reality is that they most likely are.
Yeah.
But because we never share word of our testimony, we're never authentic. We're saying, you know, saying, hey, listen, I've been struggling. Here's where I'm at. Instead, we're just masking up. And whenever we do that, what are we doing? We're falling into the ploy of the adversary. We're becoming more isolated. We're putting barriers and walls between each other. And now, instead of just saying, hey, I've been there, or, you know what, I love God and I'm doing the best I can, but I'm struggling too. When we put ourselves out there in a light that's not the reality of who we are, what we're doing is we're causing other people to fall into cycles of shame.
Yes, good.
Where it's like, well, maybe I'm the only one. Maybe I'm the only one walking through this, the only one struggling. So how do we break that?
Yeah.
We come together.
Yes.
We be authentic.
Yes.
We be open about our struggles. We don't be pretentious. We don't act like we're something that we're not. We just live authentic and real for God, for people.
Right.
No shame, no condemnation.
Come
and
on.
We do life together.
Yes.
We just do life together. That was God's design, community and connection.
Good.
I mean, Acts, when the whole church started in Acts chapter 2, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, in prayer, and in prayers. They did this every day. So this was God's design for the church. This was God's design for the believer.
Yes.
Even when he made Adam in the garden, he says, it is not good that man should be alone.
Yes.
Again, if you just look at that chart that we showed, and if you missed that, you can go back and see it later. But you might say, well, I'm not alone. I have a spouse. But do you?
Yeah.
You might be sitting on the couch.
Right.
But you're still alone.
Right.
You're in social media. You're, you know, even, again, I love a good movie, a good Netflix, but I'm not building a relationship. That's not doing anything to strengthen my marriage or, you know, so we have to be careful as the end approaches.
Yes, good.
And here's, you know, all of our stories will look different. Reality is it'll all look different. All I'm saying is let's be, be intentional about being steadfast in prayer, steadfast in the people of God, steadfast in the church community. If you're struggling, that's not the time to pull away.
Right.
That's the time to get out.
Yes.
Call a brother up.
Yes.
Call a sister up. You know, I remember before I got married, some of my friends were like, oh, you got to start dating. You got to start dating. So I remember going to the worship center here in Lancaster for the young adults group. And it was so funny because the first night there, the leader asked, all right, well, what's the one thing we're all here hoping for? And he was looking for an answer of friends and community. And some girl raised her hand, our spouses, and everybody broke out laughing because as 20-somes, that's why we were all there looking for our spouses. But I remember just thinking in that season of, you know, if you're going to find a spouse, you have to be intentional.
Yes.
And sometimes if you're struggling in the area of finding friendship, finding that connection, sitting on your couch is not the solution. Find a mom's group. I mean, I don't know, fill in the blank. I mean, find a knitting group.
Right.
Do whatever. And sometimes when the church doesn't offer that, start it.
Right. That's good.
Start it.
Yeah.
I mean, as a pastor, if somebody says, hey, pastor, I want to start a group, and you're willing to lead it, and you're willing to host it, and you're willing to do it, run for it.
Right.
You know? So if you're struggling and there's, start a prayer group, start a Bible study, do whatever you have to do to be intentional, to build a community around you.
Yes.
Because it's essential.
Yep. Build community, engage in fellowship, prioritize attending church services. Yeah. And like you just said, small groups, some other practical ways that we can stay connected or to serve others. So find areas within the church that we can volunteer. I mean, there are always positions in the church to volunteer and to get engaged. Another practical step is to open up and just to share our struggles, like you said, and victories with trusted believers that we can trust. And again, it's our witness. It's, you know what, it's being transparent. And I love, you know, just listening to a message or gleaning and gaining knowledge from a pastor or a teacher that, you know, they'll stand on the pulpit and they share struggle because it's realizing I deal with that too. You know, so it's doing that. It's opening up. It's sharing our struggles. We can reach out and we can initiate contact with those who may be isolated and say, look, you know, we have, you know, come to church and we have the small group, or I'm starting a small group, or come to my home and let's start a Bible study. You know, reach out and pull those people, because we know that is not God's best for people to be isolated and feel not a part.
Yeah. You know. And so there is no, to me, excuse under heaven for loneliness other than to say that's, and I want to be real here, that we're throwing pity parties. Most of the time, people who are in loneliness and won't get out of it is because they're stuck in a cycle of self-pity. Listen, go volunteer for Meals on Wheels. Our food pantry starts next week. You know, this, you know, I mean, every other, you know, one Monday a month, come and serve. You know, this past Wednesday night, we hosted a movie night here, and we had 20, 30 some people from the community who we reached out to who attend our food pantry. And just seeing them, and, you know, a few of them, we had extra chips and stuff out, wanting, gathered up the extra chips so that they could take home. And it's just like, there are so many needing, or people who are hurting and have needs in their life right around us.
Yes.
And so if you can't find a connect group, go serve at Water Street. Go and understand what I'm saying is, well, I don't want to do that. Well, then you want to stay lonely. I'm just going to be, you know, we can sit on the couch all day long and say, I want. Rod Parsley teaches, I can tell what you want by what you're chasing.
Wow, that's good.
No, you want to be celebrated and you want a friend group to lift you up, but you don't want to do anything. You don't want to be real. You want to be authentic. You don't want to, do it. You understand what I'm saying? So we can tell what we want by what we're chasing.
That's good.
So we have to break the mold, get out of where we are, reach out to people, love God, love people.
Yes.
Some things that will never change is God's call for us to be in community. Mm-hmm. So as we wrap up this week of talking about end times, I know that I love this week because it's, again, we're getting to the heart issues, things that we can control. And I'm saying, is if we can break out of loneliness and isolation, we are breaking the back of the adversary.
Come on.
And it is spiritual warfare to text a friend when you've been struggling with depression and say, you know what? Hey, can we get lunch tomorrow?
Yes.
Spiritual warfare.
Can we connect? Yes.
Yep. And again, this is the last thing I say, I promise. I'm sorry. But I know even sometimes we talk about that consumer mindset. Well, I'm coming to church. Nobody talked to me. You know, what am I getting out of it? How do you know? You see somebody around the room. Maybe you're here to minister to them.
Yes.
To bless them.
Yes.
You change your mindset of who can I connect with? Who needs encouragement? Who needs prayer? Who needs a friend? Man, you're going to live a good
life. Yes.
You're going to live a good
life.
So Jen, would you pray for us that we would be able to break this isolation and find the community that God's called us to live in.
Yes. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come together in community, Pastor and I this week, and just to fellowship and get into the word. And we just thank you, Holy Spirit, for just speaking in to our lives and about our commitments, about those things that maybe have distracted us in this present season. But we work and Holy Spirit, we trust that you're comforting and you're guiding us and you're giving us opportunities to volunteer and be in community and to get out and not be isolated, because these times are so critical and so necessary that we take heed, that we're just not looking outwardly for signs of the times that we live in, but we should be looking internally and saying, okay, what is the condition of my heart? You know, are there people that are hurting and dying, and they need to hear my story. They need relationship with me. They need fellowship. I need to pull them off the sofa and get them into community, get them into the house of God, yeah. get them under the anointing, get them in the word. So we just are just so grateful for this opportunity this week for the things that you've spoken over us and to us. So Holy Spirit, do what only you can do with this word this week. And we just pray that the soil and of our hearts is ready, and that we're responsible to make sure that we have soil that this seed can germinate and can grow and can flourish in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So good.
Thank you for being with us this week. I, again, have loved this teaching, and thank you, Jen, for being
you're
here.
Welcome.
It's been amazing. So like this post, if it would help us out, share it with your friends and family on social media, wherever you're mm-hmm. watching from. And we hope to see you this weekend in the house of God as we break bread with being the word of God together and worship God. It's going to be a great weekend. So
good.
Get out, fellowship with somebody. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.